الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد All praises due to Allah And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam His companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment Brothers in Islam May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Shaykh with goodness for this wonderful khutbah which he delivered. I ask Allah to make us among those who benefit from the reminder. He explained to me that in the previous Fridays, the topic was also Jannah. However, today he was dealing with other aspects of Jannah. And so he requested if I'm able to integrate between the previous ones and today's. And I will try to do so bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. As this is a topic which I personally have dealt with before, so I guess I have some of the references and the evidence is still intact, inshallah, as far as my memory is concerned. The Shaykh began by reminding us that among the things which we believers believe in is the belief of the delight or the pleasures of Jannah. And this is part of the belief in the unseen. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Jannah. And he prepared it for his righteous believing servants. We believe in it and the pleasures which Allah had prepared for the believers in it. And this is something which we have absolutely no doubts concerning. Yaqeen, certainty that this is indeed what Allah had mentioned in the Quran and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned in the Sunnah. In fact, believing in the existence of Jannah falls under the belief in the last day. And we all know that Iman is six pillars and one of which is Al-Yawm Al-Akhir. Part of the belief in the last day is believing in the Sirat, believing in the Hashr, the gathering of the people, the resurrection, Al-Ba'th Min Al-Qubur from the graves, believing in Jahannam, Nas'alullah Al-Afiyah, and believing in Jannah. These are all parts of the belief in the last day. And as we believe as well that it already exists, Jannah, as we are sitting in this particular masjid, is something which Allah has created and exists. It's not something that will be brought into existence at some later time, as many people claim. Because Allah says in the Quran, "U'iddat lil-muttaqin," and "U'iddat" is in the past tense. It was prepared for the believers, meaning this happened beforehand. And the evidences for that are too many. Even in Isra, the Prophet ﷺ went to Jannah and he saw the castle of Umar radiallahu anhu, and all that couldn't have happened if Jannah didn't exist already. The believer in this dunya should strive to attain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should strive to enter Jannah, have hope and desire to enter Jannah. And we ask the owner of Jannah and we beg him, the one to whom Jannah belongs, and which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rabbul Alameen, that He allows us and He grants us this lofty status in the life to come. And so, but for us to do so, we need to remain upright on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following everything which is required of us according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then we should strive to be among its inhabitants, and we hope that Allah will make us among those whom He said about, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. And your Lord creates whomever He wills. Yes. And your Lord creates whatever He wills and He chooses. Meaning, يَخْتَارُ لِلْجَنَّةِ مَن يَشَاءُ. He chooses whomever He wills to be among the inhabitants of Jannah. And it is not arbitrary where Allah Azza wa Jal will choose a person and leave alone another one. It has to do with our efforts. The one who strives shall be given Jannah. And the one who is negligent and lazy and careless will not be given Jannah. So even though it is Allah's will and choice, but this will and choice is dependent on our conduct, on our behavior, on our striving. And each one of us can evaluate himself and see where we stand concerning this reality. The Shaykh said, today though, we would like to discuss some aspects of Jannah. He had discussed in the previous weeks, I believe the last 2 weeks, the castles in Jannah, the tents which are so huge, 60 miles, that people don't even see each other across. meaning a person will have part of his family on one side of the tent in Jannah, Khayma, and his other family will be on the other side of the tent. However, the distance is so vast that they don't see each other. This is just what one believer will have, one of the tents. And some will have what we consider today real estate. They will have thousands and thousands of acres of property. In Jannah, there's a tree, Tuba, as it is known. The person will walk under the shade of the tree, the distance of 100 years. Under the shade of the tree, the distance of 100. This is a tree in Jannah. Don't ask about what is particular to the believer when you say Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. Then consequently we are helping in establishing our residence in the life to come. However, what needs to be understood by all of us, that the dhikr of Allah is not some ritual which is associated with the speed of counting, as you see many times today, where someone, after finishing the salah, say, this is not dhikr, this is not tasbih, this is just trying to get something off your shoulders, this is trying to just finish it off so you can go and handle your business. This is not remembering Allah as it's supposed to be. When we say Subhanallah, it has a meaning. وَهُوَ تَنْزِيهُ اللَّهِ عَمَّا لَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ سُبْحَانَ. It is to glorify Allah, exalt Him above any imperfection and weakness. So in fact, and I remind myself first here, when we remember Allah, there should be consciousness. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Like that. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. It's not numbers, it's not 33, just speedy. Okay, so when we remember Allah, if we want that reward in Jannah, it has to do with the way we actually conduct ourselves during the act of worship. Same thing can be said about Salah, and the list goes on. In terms of the food of the people of Jannah, he said, know that the people of Jannah shall be eating and drinking whatever their souls desire. And from each fruit there will be a pear in Jannah. And there will be two gardens. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. And for he who fears standing before his Lord shall have two gardens in Jannah. And in each there will be trees. Furthermore, there will be trees of pomegranate and trees of palm trees. The names, as Ibn Abbas said, the name is the only commonality between what we hear about today and what is in the life to come. For example, you say that the television screen has a face, right? Or you say the table has a leg, and the elephant has a leg. Right or wrong? Right. What is the only thing common between these legs? The word leg, L-E-G. If you were to look at the leg of a table or a chair and the leg of an elephant, there's absolutely nothing in common. Not the substance, not the material, not the size, not the look, not the smell, nothing. But what is common between them? The name. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, one of the biggest mufassirin among the Sahaba, had explained that the only thing in common between what we hear about in this dunya and in the life to come is also the name. So you hear a palm tree, and you may be thinking of the palm tree down the street, but it is not that. You hear of woman, and you may be thinking of the woman at home. It's not that. Whatever you hear is beyond our imagination. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذْنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. What no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and has never come across a human's imagination. No matter how hard you try to imagine Jannah, it is beyond our ability to imagine. So, but in order to bring the idea closer, this is what we will be having. What we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us among those who will be having that. These fruits though will be brought near, so you can eat, the dweller of Jannah can eat it whether he's standing, can eat it whether he is sitting, or even reclining on his side. The actual fruits of Jannah will be brought near for extreme comfortability. You don't have to go to the bagala and go shopping for some fruits. You'll be lying down in your place and the tree will come to you. You don't have to go to the tree. And he will just pick out the fruit Of course, the taste and the reality and the essence of this fruit is beyond our imagination. And we will eat and drink along with the rivers which Allah had mentioned in the Quran, rivers of water that does not go bad or expire with time, honey which has been pure from anything which may make it impure, and wine which does not get you intoxicated, nor does it have, you know, our minds puzzled, and leban. Leban nowadays, it's common for yogurt, but in fact leban back then was halib, milk. So when they speak of leban, they speak of milk. لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. Also, it does not go bad. It does not go bad with the passage of time. So these are rivers which the people will be eating and drinking from. And when we do so, it will not be because one is hungry or one is thirsty. It is not because of a need. Because once people enter Jannah, there will be no need for anything. It will just be ultimate relaxation. So this idea of consuming food and drink is simply for entertainment. Kulu washrabu, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, and He mentioned that this is a consequence, bima kuntum ta'malun, as a consequence of what you used to earn. It will be just eating and drinking for the sake of doing so, not because one will be hungry or thirsty. Furthermore, if one was to, if you ate, now usually now in this life, when you eat and drink, you have to eventually visit the restroom, WC, hammam, whatever you want to call it. But in Jannah, what will happen is the person will sweat. And as soon as you sweat, which will smell like the best of musk, then your stomach will be lean again. It will be flat again, in case someone has eaten a lot. And that's it. This is all that will happen. There will be no further needs. The actual material which the people will use to eat from, you're eating food, you're drinking whatever you want, will be silverware, will be actual material made out of silver and gold. And he quoted the ayat associated with that, وَيُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِآنِيَةٍ مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ كَانَتْ قَوَارِيرًا. Of course, they will be circulating around them by the Wuldan al-Mukhalladun, as he will mention later on in the khutbah. They will be bringing to them these foods and these drinks, and everything is in gold and silver containers. Right? This is why they were made forbidden for us in the dunya, so the believers will enjoy them in their life to come. As for the clothing of the people of Jannah, then they will be wearing various kinds of jewelry. And according to the ulama, the scholars, that is, this jewelry is both for male and female. Today, a man does not need any jewelry, right? We don't wear no bracelets, we don't wear any necklaces, or let alone an anklet. Anything along these lines is not befitting for a man. What a man wears is a watch, a ring, and that's it. Really, anything else beyond that is not really a means of acceptable means for a man to adorn himself, because the adornment, this kind of adornment, is strictly for the woman. However, in Jannah, men and women will be adorned with gold and silver bracelets. Their clothing will be made out of silk brocade. Some of which, and this is where the scholars have went into the discussion about the sundus and istabrak. These are kinds of silk. Some of which is thick kind of silk, and the other one is thin. Either way, it is various form of green silk that the people of Jannah will be wearing, and their clothes will never go bad. They will never wear out. You know, after wearing something for a year or something, say, okay, this stove is no good, I have to buy a new one. This will never happen in Jannah. People just wear whatever and it will always be in the best condition. As for your as for the beds, what will you be sleeping on? On the floor, on a mattress, on a, you know, whatever, straw mat. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقْ. They will be reclining on couches, if we may call them, or sofas, and the actual fabric is silk. And it will be high. These actual sofas or couches will be high up. The Shaykh mentioned that in some of the narrations, it mentions that one will have to climb what is equal to 100 years So one will be able to get on his own bed. And you know, people will be just be relaxing, reclining, you know, just leaning on one side. This will be actually the furush which they will be using. Furthermore, you hear it in Surah Al-Ghashiyah all the time, فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَ وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَ. Sururun marfu'a are raised sofas and couches. Akwab are cups, mawdu'a placed in their, for their convenience. وَنَمَارِكُ مَصْفُوفَ وَزَرَابِيُّ مَبْثُوثَ. Namarik are actually pillows. You know the pillows that they use to adorn a majlis. You go to the majlis and they are the actual place where you sit. Then they are the pillows which are means of adornment. And zarabi are like mattresses, like carpet, which is laid out. And so this is what would be there in Jannah, again, beyond our imagination. Furthermore, the people will have servants in Jannah. And these servants, as Allah says, wildanun mukhalladun. Wildan meaning young. They will be young in age. Mukhalladun, they are eternal. And they will ever be in the state of youth. They don't grow with age. They don't increase in age. They remain in a standard age and size, serving the believers. So everything will be served. No one will have, there's no self-service, right? There's full service. Everyone will be served. Whatever one imagines, one will get. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him that I'm a man who loves farming, you know. And the idea was, well, you would not need any farming in Jannah because everything is there. However, because he desired that, the Prophet ﷺ told him that you'll be able to do so in Jannah. You wish to have a farm, you wish to, you like, you know, to grow vegetation, whatever you wish, whatever one wishes, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُهُمْ. Whatever their souls desires, they shall have. Nothing will be forbidden. Nothing will be prevented. So, some of us have a wider imagination than others, and according to our imagination, will be given بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عز وجل. These wildan mukhalladun, إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. If you look at them, they seem to be like scattered pearls. Because of their abundance, they're so many in numbers, and because of their beauty, it's as if you got some pearls and you spread them in this masjid. And everywhere you look around, you see, you know, glittering and glowing pearls in the sky and in the earth. It's a beautiful scene. And this is the appearance of Al-Wildan Al-Mukhalladun. There will be a marketplace in Jannah, nothing like the marketplace which we have in the dunya. Because the marketplace here today is a fitna place, actually, more than anything else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, in Jannah there will be a marketplace which the people will visit every Friday, right?" And some of the ulama say it just means every week. And of course, the time span is unknown to us. We cannot really measure it according to the dunya, because the time span in the dunya is unlike the time span in the life to come. So Allahu alam how long that would be. However, the hadith says every Jumu'ah. Then when they go there, some wind from the north will blow and will throw at them. When it touches their faces and their bodies, they will become more beautiful and better looking. When they are done, they will go back to their wives, and they will look at their wives, and their wives will say to them, "Mashallah, you came back better looking than when you went." And the same thing would happen to their wives who will be waiting for them. They will say, "And you too, you are looking better than when I went." So every time they go, imagine now, if you look good already, and according to some of the hadith, people will be looking like Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, and exceed that in beauty and handsome, more handsome than that. Every week, someone increases in beauty, and so do the wives. So it's never lasting. It's everlasting and never ending. Forever, a person will continue to be improving. وَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ. So this is Suq Ahlul Jannah. The Shaykh said that it is not like, you know, the Suq of this dunya. As for the women, now, I was worried about the youngsters here, and I don't know whether I should elaborate on what. Let's vote. The Shaykh quoted some sensitive material on the minbar, and I was reluctant when I heard him to see whether I can convey that in English or not. It's not very dangerous, but do you brothers prefer that I just go ahead and do it? Right. Somebody will have to explain to the children at home. It's not going to be me, inshallah. Okay. The woman of Jannah. Now, the one of well, first, if a person is a righteous man and his wife is a righteous woman and they both die in a state of righteousness, then they will be couples again in Jannah. Your wife in this dunya, if everything is good inshallah, will be your wife in Jannah as well. And according to some of the narrations, she will exceed the other Hur al-Ain in beauty and so on and so forth. So she'll be superior to them, more like a master over the rest of them. Even though there's a discussion among the ulama concerning the authenticity of these narrations, which make such an allegation. But however, Allah says in the Quran, جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَتِهِمْ. This is the evidence. The gardens of delight which they will enter, along with whoever was saluha, they were righteous among their parents, their wives and their children. Now, furthermore, besides one's wife, and if someone had four wives, then four wives, or two and two, or three and three, each believer, believing male that is, will have in Jannah two Hur al-Ain. And Hur al-Ain is strictly females, even though you may have heard elsewhere that Hur al-Ain is actually a neutral gender which could be applicable to male or female. This is incorrect, and if you go back to all the tafsir of the ulama and read their statements from back then until today, you will find a consistency in the opinion that Hur al-Ain is a description of a woman. It's enough that Allah Azza wa Jal had called them zawjat, right? وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ. It was made to become couple, to become married. And that only happens between a male and a female. It doesn't work the other way around. And the context was speaking about the masculine gender. But this is not the time to elaborate on that. The point being, each one will have at least two. And Hur جمع حوراء. And this is the definition of the ulama. وَهِيَ الْمَرْأَ. It is a woman, الشابة, young, الحسناء, beautiful, attractive, extremely white, and with extremely black eyes, and they're wide eyes, right? It's more like imagination, right? Maybe they don't exist, actually in the dunya in this particular description, but they do exist in the life to come. And Allah had described them as kawa'iba atraba. I'm sure most of you know Surah An-Naba, right? And maybe you've read this ayah so many times in your life, kawa'iba atraba, and maybe you know what it means, maybe you don't. Ka'ib comes from Ka'b, and it's actually the description of the female's breast, which is in being perky and firm, meaning the opposite of sagging. Okay, so this is a description. Atraba, they're equal in age. They're all of the same age according to the hadith, 33 years. And they will all be, in terms of their physical fitness, they will be in such a condition where there's no sagness in their body, everything is just firm. And this is the Sheikh's explanation. And you know, these are, the Hur al-Ain are Allah's creation, whom He created particularly for the men in Jannah. They are Allah's creation strictly for the men in Jannah. إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَهُنَّ إِنْشَاءَ فَجَعَلْنَهُنَّ أَبْكَارَ عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا. Verily we have created them, Allah says, we made them virgins, and عُرُبًا meaning she's very good in flirting with her husband. You know, the manner which she speaks, the softness, the sweetness, you know, the things which you look from a feminine woman. This is the عُرُبًا. أَتْرَابًا, we said earlier, they're equal in age. They're virgins, no man has ever touched them. لَمْ يَطْمِثُنَّ قَبْلَهُمْ إِنْسٌ. إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ عَفْوًا وَلَا جَنْ. No ins or jinn has ever touched them or had a relation with them. And so, you know, these are some of their descriptions. Furthermore, Allah says, قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. And you heard that, or you read it so many times in the Quran. Tarf is actually the blink of an eye, the look. Qasirat is to lower. Qasiratu tarf meaning they lower their gaze from anyone besides their spouse. Meaning this Hur, Hur al-Ain, her husband, she will see no one else in Jannah but him. She will not look at anyone else in Jannah except him. And they will say, according to other narrations, Alhamdulillah, who had created us for you, and given you to us. They will be happy about this man, and they will not look, I mean, you know, the man does not have to worry about his wife looking at another man who may be wealthier or more handsome. Such feelings do not exist in Jannah. And they are qasiratu tarz, they will strictly look at their men. Furthermore, according to some of the ulama, also it's the other way around. Qasiratu tarz meaning they make their husbands unable to look at anything else because of their beauty. But the first meaning is the most popular and the most correct, inshallah ta'ala. Furthermore, unlike the women of the dunya, these women are pure. Pure, as the ulama say, in terms of character and in terms of their physical being. Pure in terms of their character, she will not be jealous. She will not, you know, nag. I'm not going to enumerate the qualities of the woman of this day and time. But whatever, you know, you suffer from in women today, these women will not have any of these. They have no problems. Everything is good, you know. No, give me half of the ratib. Or, you know, this, you know, shoes is no good. You need to buy me new ones. Or, you know, our life is no good. Look at our neighbors. You won't have to hear this ever again in your life if you ever go to Jannah. And also, in terms of their physical being, they do not blow their noses. They do not spit. They don't have any filth. They don't have menstrual cycle. They do not defecate, and they do not urinate. So they're ever clean and pure from every deficiency. And the Prophet ﷺ said that they actually sing for their husbands. She will sing. But according to the ulama, whoever hears the singing of this dunya shall not hear the singing of the life to come, if he makes it to Jannah. Otherwise, as Ibn Qayyim and others mentioned, our hearts are a container. And this container can only accommodate one thing at a time. Either the speech of Allah, the Quran, or the speech of the Shaitan, music and singing. They don't merge with one another. They don't fit in the same container. If the words of Allah come into the heart, then the words of the Shaitan have to leave. But if we choose the words of the Shaitan into our hearts, then the words of Allah will leave. And the biggest evidence is you ask someone who's obsessed with listening to music, whether it is classical or otherwise, at the time of distress and sadness, if you present to him the Quran or his favorite sad song, he will listen to the song. And he will cry listening to the song. And he will get all these emotions and feelings. If you give him the Quran, he's like a stone. If you give him the Quran, he's like a stone. He may say, turn it off. Because they do not fit in one heart. And Ibn Mas'ud and others used to say, singing, it creates hypocrisy in the heart. Anyways, the whole issue of music and singing is a long discussion. This is not the time to elaborate on it. Okay. The Prophet ﷺ said, if one woman from the women of Jannah was to look over this world of ours, she was just to look over, she will illuminate everything between the heavens and the earth. And she will fill this world with a beautiful scent. And her khimar, like her cloth, let's say call it a cloth, which she will wear on her head, is better than this dunya and whatever's in it. One piece of clothing of the woman of Jannah, not the woman herself, the fabric, as the Shaykh was showing you in his shimak, right? That piece of cloth which she has on her head is better than the dunya and whatever's in it. How many Hummers do we have in the dunya? How many Mercedes do you have in the dunya? BMWs, castles, money, gold, silver. And we're not talking about the dunya that we're living in today only. The dunya from the time of Adam until the day of judgment. How much wealth has come around and went around? Her khimar is better than all of that. So don't ask about her, and don't ask about Jannah, and don't ask about the man who is in Jannah, or the woman among our sisters who will enter Jannah. So it's beyond our imagination. However, somehow we continue to fail as a Muslim ummah to a large degree, illa man rahim Allah. We continue to fail in our choices. And for whatever reason, it seems that everyone wants to choose the dunya on the expense of the life to come. We're willing to compromise this reward in order to have some lousy entertainment here, which is full of sadness and grief, and you can't really have fun before some calamity comes and we're back to the state of sadness. So inshallah, we will make our priorities right and we will choose what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The woman of Jannah will be so beautiful that if one will be able to see the marrow of her bone through the flesh. I mean, it's so beautiful that you can see the marrow of the bone, meaning you can go, it's like see-through. She's like see-through because of her beauty and her, and her beauty. Now, how many do you have? This is a big question. People are greedy. Say, only two? If I want to go to Jannah, I want more. What it seems to be that two is the minimum. The more righteous, the more one may get. On the other hand, the shaheed, the one who dies fighting in the cause of Allah, this person will have guaranteed for him at least 72 hur'een. 72. So, alhamdulillah. Furthermore, the Shaykh mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the man will be given the strength of 100 men. Each one will be as strong as 100 men in eating and drinking and having relations. So, if we're not doing a great job today, then maybe in the life to come one will be able to make it up. So, but let's make it there first, inshallah. So I think I'm going the other way around. This was the first khutbah. What is the greatest thing though that people will get in Jannah? Any answer? I don't want to just talk by myself. What is the greatest thing in Jannah? Woman? Looking at Allah. Question. When we look at Allah, does it, the hadith actually mentions Wajhullah, Allah's face. Does Allah have a face? No. No? Allah has a face. Allah has a face. We have to get our belief system right. When we speak about this, what I'm speaking right now is the belief system of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Shafi'i, Malik, and Imam Ahmad. This is not something fabricated. This is their belief system. This is their aqidah, which is most important. The fiqh, we will differ concerning the fiqh. But their belief system, we cannot afford to play with. What was the belief system of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Is that they believed in everything which Allah described Himself with in the Quran. And Allah says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And in the hadith, it's clearly mentioned that Allah has a face. Now where do we stop? When we come to the question, how? We say, Allahu A'lam. How? We have no image, no imagination, because we will never be able to perceive Allah, because Allah told us in the Quran, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's none co-equal to Him. Right? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto Him. So we believe in the apparent meaning of the Quran, but we don't make Allah like a human being. We don't think of an old man, أعوذ بالله, حاشا لله, and say, okay, this must be Allah. When we think of a face, we think of a face of a human being. This is incorrect. But we don't deny the apparent meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This belief system is very important for us to have, because this is the belief system of Imam Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasai, all of the ulama, with some very minor exceptions that took place after Islam was spread into the world, and they engaged with philosophers, and some philosophical arguments were presented, and people started to negate what Allah had confirmed in the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ in the Sunnah. So then the most beautiful thing and the greatest delight is looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh quoted a narration to support that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people of Jannah, O people of Jannah, they will say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَعْدَيْكَ. Here we are, O Allah, and we are ready to serve you and please you. So he will say to them, are you pleased? And they will say, how is it that we will not be pleased? Even though you have given us what you did not give anyone in the world. He will say to them, shall I give you that which is better? They will say, yes, our Lord. He will say, I shall grant you my pleasure, so I will never be displeased with you again. That's the most important thing. Because now, we are in a danger zone. Allah may be pleased with you today, and He may be displeased with you tomorrow. There's no guarantee in the dunya. But once people enter Jannah, they will be guaranteed that Allah will never be displeased with them, which means they will never leave Jannah. Eternity. Not 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, 500 years, a million years. Eternity, it does not end. Allah's pleasure concerning them will not end. Their pleasure in Jannah shall not end. This was the first narration. And the other one on Suhaib, Ali Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, once the people of Jannah will enter Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, do you want something so I may increase you? They will say, oh Allah, did you not illuminate our faces? Did you not permit us to Jannah? Did you not protect us from the hellfire? Then he will say, then Allah Azza wa Jal will remove the veil, the partition, subhanahu wa ta'ala, between him and them. And so they will look at his face, and nothing will be more pleasing to them than looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith is in where? Sahih Muslim. And the hadith says, فَمَا أُعْتُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They will be given nothing which is more pleasing to them than looking at the Lord عز وجل. And then he recited the ayah, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. Those who had good, who performed good, they shall be given good as well, waziyada, and an increase. And this is the ziyada. They'll be able to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh ended the lecture, the khutbah, or almost, with the last man to enter Jannah. And I know you're hungry, I know you're tired, but inshallah this will be worthwhile. Right? Maybe we'll hear something that will change the course of our lives. So try to hang in there. If you're too tired, I understand your excuse if you wish to leave. The last person to enter Jannah, and the hadith is a Muslim, just to give you the information beforehand, is a man who will be walking over the Sirat. The Sirat is like a path which Allah will place over Jahannam. Those who cross it and make it to the other side will enter Jannah. This man, while he's crossing, at some time the fire will strike him, and at other times he will fall, and at other times he will be able to walk. Finally, after struggling, he will make it to the other side. Once he makes it to the other side, he will look back at Jahannam and he will say, Alhamdulillah, who had saved me from you and gave me what he hasn't given anyone in his creation. So the most important thing to him is that Allah did not place him in what? Jahannam. This was the greatest victory. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Whoever is moved away from the fire and permitted to Jannah has become successful. This is success. Not the fulus and not anything else. طيب. So once he has done so, a tree will erect and stand in front of him out of nowhere. And he will say, oh my Lord, allow me to go under the shade of this tree and drink from the water therein. Allah Azza wa Jal will say, perhaps, O son of Adam, if I gave it to you, you will ask me for something else. He will say, the believer, no, O Allah, I promise, I will not ask you for anything else except this tree. So Allah will bring him near to the tree. When he goes to the tree and he sits for some time, another tree, a little farther and better than the first one, will also be presented in front of him. And he will wait for some time. Then he will say, O Allah, allow me to go under that tree. He will say, oh son of Adam, did you not give the covenant? Did you not promise that you will not ask me for anything else? He will say, only this one, oh Allah, I will not ask for anything else. Then the hadith says, and Allah will excuse him because he knows, Allah knows that this man is seeing something which he has no patience over. He is not able to be patient, so he's excused. Otherwise he promised Allah, he's not going to ask for anything else. But Allah is merciful, Wadud, Rahim. So he allows him to go to the following tree. While he's sitting under the shade of the tree, drinking from the water, a better tree than the first two will be right at the door of Jannah. At the door of Jannah. He will say, oh Allah, this tree, I will not ask you for anything else. Allah will tell him, oh son of Adam, in another narration, how quick you forget and you betray. Did you not say that you will not ask for anything else? He will say, only this one, oh Allah, I will not ask for anything else. So then he will be taken to that tree. Now while he's sitting under the tree, he's at the door of Jannah, he hears the people in Jannah. So he says, Ya Rab, adkhilni al-Jannah. He says, oh Allah, allow me to Jannah. Allow me to enter Jannah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will tell him, would it make you happy if I gave you the equivalent of the dunya and double that? So then the man will say, do you make fun of me? Do you mock me? And you are the Lord of the world? Wa anta Rabbul Alameen? Then Ibn Mas'ud laughed. And he said, why don't you ask me why I'm laughing? They said, why are you laughing? He said, I'm laughing because when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed this hadith to us, he laughed. And we asked him, O Messenger of Allah, why are you laughing? He said, he was laughing because Allah Azza wa Jal will laugh. Again, there's nothing like Allah.
Don't imagine no sounds. Don't imagine no images. There's nothing like Allah. But that's what the hadith says. You either believe or you don't believe. Allah will laugh because of this statement. Are you making fun of me? And you are Rabbul Alameen and you're the Lord of the world. Because to him, he was just barely saved from Jannah. He's going to get the dunya and something equal to it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, no, I am not mocking you, but I am able to do whatever I wish. And so this was the last person to enter Jannah. Yani someone who barely, his good deeds barely outweighed his bad deeds. Barely made it to Jannah. Don't ask about those who will enter Jannah among the first. Those who will be, the righteous in the sight of Allah. Then they will have something beyond our imagination. And the Shaykh ended the khutbah by reminding us of very important reminders. First, Jannah, as it comes in one of the hadith, is the product of Allah. And it is expensive. One of the ulama said, wallahi, if from the moment we were born until we die, we remain in the state of sujood, no disobedience, worshipping Allah from the time we're born until we die, it will be nothing. It will not be worth any even part of a payment for what Allah has prepared for Jannah. Let alone us sinning and disobeying and turning away from the deen and ignoring the teachings and disregarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following our lust, following our desires, with all these calamities, how would we pay for Jannah? So then what it means is that we need to strive. Jannah was surrounded with makarih, things that you dislike. We have to struggle against our desires. وَالنَّارْ حُفَّتْ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ, whereas the fire has been surrounded with the lusts. So meaning people will continue to follow their lusts and their desires. I like this, I like that, until they enter Jahannam. On the other hand, people will continue to avoid things which are pleasing to them until they enter Jannah. So life is a struggle. It is not entertainment. Secondly, the Shaykh mentioned that the biggest ummah to enter Jannah would be the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he also mentioned, and I'm quickly mentioning these. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shall I not inform you about the inhabitants of Jannah?" He said, "Every weak person, disregarded by the people, if he were to make an oath, Allah shall grant him the oath. If he were to swear by Allah, Allah shall respond and answer his supplication. But shall I inform you about every inhabitant of Jahannam?" He said, "Each arrogant, boastful individual." The arrogant people who believe they are better than others, these will be the inhabitants of the hellfire. Nas Allah al-afiyah. Furthermore, most of the people of Jannah will be women. Women will be most of the inhabitants of Jannah, and the Shaykh said, and also the most of the inhabitants of Jannah. Because of the Hur al-Ain, each one will get two, so obviously there will be more women than men. However, in terms of them ignoring Allah's commandments, women are more than men in this particular area. So we need to be careful, brothers in Islam, concerning our daughters, concerning our wives, concerning our sisters. This is our responsibility to protect them, to make sure that they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are established in the salah, that when they dress in a way that is pleasing to Allah. When they go out to the marketplace, they're not a source of fitna for the men, and the men being fitna for them. This is our responsibility. Otherwise, most of the inhabitants of Jahannam will be among the females. And we ask Allah to protect all the women folks which are related to us. Furthermore, if anyone, may Allah protect all of your children, if any one of among the children of the Muslims died before reaching the age of puberty, then inshallah they're automatically among the inhabitants of Jannah. Concerning the children of the Mushrikeen, there's a long discussion among the ulama concerning that, so I don't think it's befitting to discuss this right now. Lastly, there will be 70,000 who will enter Jannah without any accountability and any punishment. When the Prophet ﷺ told this to the Sahaba, they started having discussions among them. Some of them said, it is those who were born into Islam. They never committed shirk. And others said other opinions. So anyways, when he heard them, he said, it is those who do not, let me quote it as a hadith, لا يسترقون. يسترقون comes from the word ruqya. Ruqya is a remedy that one does for treatment. What is intended here, that they do not seek it. Meaning, If you're sick and your wife naturally by herself comes and does ruqya on you, alhamdulillah. You do ruqya on yourself, alhamdulillah. When is one excluded from the 70,000? When he goes out looking for someone to give him a ruqya. لِأَنْ يَرْقِيهِ يعني, for someone to perform a ruqya on him. This is the first. They do not do so. Why? The ulama say because of their strength and faith and dependence on Allah and certainty that they don't go for the human beings. But anyways, some of the ulama say if someone's situation is very bad, magic or jinn, a'udhu billah, something like that, and it is required that they go seek it themselves, then you know they will be excluded from the 70,000. They will be excluded from the 70,000. This is the first quality. Second, وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ. They do not, they're not optimistic, pessimistic, right? They don't believe in bad omens. So if you see a black cat, and that means that somebody's gonna die, or if somebody opens the umbrella in the house, it means something. You know, these superstitions, number 13 and number 7, they don't have this kind of, you know, nonsensical belief system. Thirdly, لَا يَكْتَوُونَ. It's a form of treatment by burning a particular part of the body. And lastly, وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they rely upon their Lord. This is the most important quality. These are the 70,000 who will enter Jannah. When Prophet ﷺ said this, Ukasha said, O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make me among them. He said, you are among them. Then another Sahabi wanted to take the opportunity and say, O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make me among them. He said, سَبَقَكَ بِهَا Ukasha. Ukasha beat you to it. Right, and so he was granted this particular lofty status. So all in all, and in summary, and I apologize for the extension and the translation, brothers in Islam, we need to wake up. We need to wake up from our sleep. This is not fantasies. This is not fairy tales. This is real. It's more real than us speaking. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Well, Allah swore by the heavens and the earth. This, everything that Allah has mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah is more real than you speaking. It's the most real thing in the world. And this is around the corner. This Jannah, this accountability, this pleasure is not in a million years. As soon as we die, خلاص, we are at the front door. Because the grave will be either a garden from the gardens of Jannah or a pit from the pits of the hellfire. Upon dying, khalas, we already know where we're going and how we will be. And who knows when we will die? No one. Death is closer to us, as Prophet ﷺ said, than your shoelace. It's near. So then we need to be mindful of this reality. There's no time to play. We have to give time for the rights of Allah. We have to live Islam in reality. We have to strengthen ourselves as a community. We have to share this with our youngsters who are obsessed with everything in the world except Islam. We have to raise a generation loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving the deen of Islam and propagation. This Jannah is within reach if we strive. So let us not be among the lazy people who only hear information and do nothing about it. Let us hear this information. This is to excite us to strive. So we can be better Muslims inshaAllah. And Allah is merciful. If He sees us striving, He will not leave us alone. He will not leave us unattended. He shall guide us to Jannah bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. If you wish to hear this khutbah translation again, please go to www.onewaytoparadise.net. There are no digits, no spaces. One way to paradise, onewaytoparadise.net. And you can download this lecture or this khutbah translation and other events and da'wah related matters in English. Wa jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm sorry. Aykum salam, ahlan, how are you?
This Monday, the lecture is on which topic?
It's called Errors in Connection. You figure it out.
Your presentation was excellent.
JazakAllah khair. May Allah accept. Barakallah feek. Aykum salam, ahlan, akhi. Aykum salam, mashallah, barakallah feek. Aykum salam, ahlan. Aykum salam, JazakAllah khair for staying. Ahlan, Shaykh, ahlan, hayakallah, barakallah feek. Alhamdulillah, good. Yeah, wa aykum salam.
This is my sister's husband.
MashaAllah, tabarakallah. So he will be your brother-in-law, I guess.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a shortcut. Yeah, the week before the, we took the Muslims to an istiraha in Kilo 14. Before that, the khutbah was in Mushrifa in English.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm not here, it's because I'm obliged to be somewhere else. Otherwise, inshallah, this is my local masjid now.
Inshallah.
For the khutbah translation at least. Aikum salam. How are you, sir?
Barakallah
feek. Jazakallah khair. Allah yihfazak. Ahlan. Aikum salam. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feek. Assalamu alaikum. Ahlan, akhi. How are you? No, this cough is allergy. How are you? Aikum salam. Ahlan, akhi. No, it's okay, akhi. I have some at home. Jazakallah khair. Everything's good?
Yeah, after lecture.
Huh?
Do you have anything on that today?
No, khalas, the thing is over. There's a lecture this Monday, inshallah, at IMC. Yes. 8:20 p.m. titled Errors in Connection. I think this is all I have today. Hi. Barakallah feek. Alaykum salam. How are you? Jazakallah khair. Alaykum salam. Ahlan. Hayakallah. بارك الله فيك حفظك الله اخبارك الحمد لله الحمد لله عز وجل الله يحفظك الحمد لله بخير
اسم الكريم والله
وجدي عكاري
والنعم فيك
بارك الله فيك
لو سمحت ممكن بس اسم الموقع اللي قلته قبل شوي
ايوه ابشر اظن معي كرت لعله يساعدك ويساعدني
ان شاء الله
لانه مكتوب عليه هذا الموقع اخي oneway to paradise.net
ما شاء الله
ماشي
موجود
نعم الحمد لله تفضل الله عز وجل تفضل الله عز وجل
ما شاء الله أبهرتني بأسلوبك
الله مستعان نسأل الله القبول yeah sure it's free don't try to buy anything with it though
ما شاء الله لك الله
الله يحفظك sure you try to subscribe to the website so anytime there's an Islamic event in English you will be notified and if you wish to receive SMS messages just email me your cell phone number I will add you to the SMS list. Anytime there's a da'wah in English, you receive an SMS that on this day, at this time, there's a da'wah event. If you can come,
any
inshallah.
Any queries, anything?
Yes.
You can.
Even that, inshallah, yes. Okay. Allah musta'an.
Have a ragma?
رقمي هنا أيوة يا شيخ تفضل هذا الرقم وهذا يعني أخونا بارك الله فيك وهذا الإيميل وهذا الموقع
to whom I have your address you which
yes
المعرفة
بارك الله فيك
العربي كان الموقع هذه
لا إنجليزي
ما في موقع بالعربي
لا
شاركتهم شوية
ما أهل العربية لهم جهود ما شاء الله إيه ما يحتاجون إيه
ممكن أسألك يعني هذا الشيء خاص
فيسبوك؟ إيه لا هذا لأنه الاثنين إن شاء الله في محاضرة برضو تعرف أنت الله يحفظك
والله محاضرة منا بس أنا الغد مسافر إن شاء الله الهند
ما شاء الله
لا السفر إن شاء الله
بالسلام إن شاء الله أستودعك الله الذي لا أستودع الله دينك وأمانتك وخواتيم أعمالك
آمين
بارك الله فيك زودك الله وتقى وغفر لك ذنبك جزاك الله خير حفظك الله
السلام عليكم
تبيخ
ما شاء الله
جزاك الله خير بارك الله فيك may Allah accept thank you sir thank you very much جزاك الله خير
I understand خد
الحمد لله.
Arabic command, but your English and your translation was more
very good.
There is another one thing. It came to my mind
yes.
During Salat. Why don't you translate this three khutbas? Take the paper and make
type
translation. Yeah. Because now there is a difference between kitab. And writing so many avoid all the repetition and make actually virtue of heaven like this it's very nice what are you doing here
two elements here first is that we've discussed this before the time does not allow it my time personally the time is very tight so that it cannot be done furthermore by the grace of Allah there is a lecture which I delivered which is available on DVD titled Eternal Bliss and it was actually the combination of the khutab
I have all these things and I'm a professional telecommunication engineer
Mashallah.
But the kutayyab and the things now that is more useful
صح.
more useful actually if suppose that you want to see actually, DVD any children wife so actually this has come actually when I was reciting this came
it's a good idea
I should tell you.
It's a good idea but I don't think it's feasible I mean in terms of implementing I've tried it before the translation is time consuming
and my time does not allow me to do it.
But
Jazakallah khairan.
No, I think we have tried this before also, because Sheikh Muhammad Bamunif also wanted the same thing, somebody to translate by English, so that people who don't hear him also at least can reach to them.
No,
but the thing what...
For me, Mama, like
I appreciate it. Yes, Jazakallah. Barakallah feek ala al-tawji. Wa alaikum salam, Sheikh. Wajdi Akkari.
Syria?
Min Lubnan.
Min Lubnan.
Barakallah feek.
تشتغل.
أنا I'm what you call a pedagogical supervisor for the English department in a school called Amjad School. Uh-huh. Like an educational supervisor for the teachers. And I work at the Da'wah Center in the evening as well. Alhamdulillah.
Nice.
Jazakallah khairan. And I'm your neighbor, I just live close. Allah yahfazak. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
I was thinking just, I came to talk to you about the same thing. You are recording this lecture, isn't it? And the translation.
Yes.
So we want to take it as it is and get it typed on.
By all means, yes,
that's
please.
What I'm
no problem.
So at this, we can make some adjustments.
Alhamdulillah, if anyone is willing to do it, I'll be more than
that's
happy.
That's what I was thinking. So what is another way to get obtain this? Shall I give you?